in a poem called Two, A Sense of the Lively Unit, you have a line that alludes to the way letters think. And there are many examples of this line of inquiry popping up in this book, and they come across as a kind of sound poetry. It's great to hear Bhakti read them as best she can. She, I don't know how to read this, and or whatever. Pages 27, 39, and 77 have examples of such. But maybe reading that and maybe talking about how not only are the dead bugs in the hallway someone to be interviewed, but the letters themselves are organisms that have their own intelligence and autonomy and what have you.
Yeah. Yeah, I started thinking in this sort of mystical poetics that I was hoping would emerge here with that process that that the letters, and it is certainly not an idea original to me. I was thinking a lot about, you know, just Kabbalistic worship of individual language units and how an utterance. I got really interested in oracular, you know, in methods of divination. After studying alchemy and also after doing a lot of work with not necessarily the Kabbalah but related Gnostic related traditions, and what I found was that ideas of divination and ideas of the Gnostic, where the meaning is held within matter in a kind of fiery energy that gets released, and I know that's part of your spiritual tradition as well, like tapping into energy that's then very much released and joyfully released.
Mm-hmm. And when you were talking, and when I'm thinking of letters and that, I'm thinking of the runes,
right?
Absolutely,
yeah.
which have their own. And I mean, you say something like wunyo, wunyo, wunyo,
yeah.
And it. You know, it has a certain frequency that it's radiating,
hopefully
you attract that. In the case of wunyo, which is described as joy.
Yeah, and of course, part of the origins of Chinese writing is from divination by fire and putting oracle bones and turtle shells into the fire and having the cracks emerge, and then having the writing, you know, was done over the cracks that got emerged, and then the sound was made at the same time. So sound, crack, spirit of the ancestors coming back, and the bone cracking in a certain way. I'm just so in love with the idea that like maybe letters themselves have feeling, or maybe there's more senses than we know. I mean, maybe there's a lot more sense than we know, you know. I don't mean like humanoid, you know, crying at soap operas type of feeling. I mean that maybe there's lots more feeling, you know. And so I loved the idea that maybe this underground meaning that was happening, and also the letters emerging, and the way when the letters are created, maybe they would be sort of trapping meaning and feeling, and then you release them by using them, which is very much a sort of Kabbalistic idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like you utter it, and when you use it. But anyway, yeah, so there's this one, and I don't know which one you wanted me to read, but...
There's
Animus Morning in the Vineyard.
Yeah, there's examples of that, and then there's also the poem in which you actually make the reference to it, which I think is on page 51.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
To A Sense of the Lively Unit, with lots more epigraphs about fire.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So your choice.
Yeah. Well, maybe I should read. Maybe I'll read one I can talk about autumn ritual with hate turned sideways. There's an H, the hate. Trying to give a sense that the hate would be transformed by doing an action with it. So, autumn ritual with hate turned sideways. I pull the hate on a rope ladder to a resting zone. H, H, 8, H. Pull the A on down. A. Put that sick A to bed. Get well, A. Pinched fire. Bring the T down now. T, T, T. Roman cross before the Christian thing. Bump, bump. Put that T to bed. Put that Garamond T to bed before we kill someone with it. Such as whack, whack. Weapons contractors in Virginia. Whack. Get well, T. Won't kill with you. Now, being able to breathe for the E. Breathe into the prongs. Slide on its back. E, E, E. Put the E to bed. Get well, E. Weird shapes around campfires below the mind. Tiny fires with hurt earth spirits, as in Aeschylus. Resting letters now so they can live.
What prompted that? Do you remember?
I don't know. Probably, well, of course, a lot of these were inspired by trying to make my activism somehow poetic, some poetic moment coming out of all the vicious business in the last few decades. But, I mean, I do remember reading about the weapons contractors selling more weapons, you know, for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and that it was just out of control, that the weapons would just keep being sold no matter at what rate they were used, you know. And I was just so angry at a number of points in the last, you know, few years about weapons, munitions manufacturers, and how much it's how much damage, hideous damage it's causing, and how much profiteering there is. So anyway, I do trance work, as you know, and I do my little trance practice, and sometimes I imagine a word, just one word that's in my little scene when I close my eyes and I go into the place where it's often a sort of little altar constructed scene, and I think about what's going to happen with that word, and sometimes it falls apart, and sometimes it, you know, I just sort of will shepherd it on away. So particularly when my poetry's stuck, like, I will think, well, what word is stuck? So I'll do a little trance thing, and I'll put myself in the hypnotic, and then I'll go down and I'll look at the word and I'll think, like, why are you stuck? And I'll interview the word or whatever, and something will happen to it. And on this particular day, I was really, you know, hate just stops your soul. It stops your soul. So I just said, you know, I'm just gonna take this hate on a little journey. Mm-hmm. So I took it down.
But one of the things that I get out of it is that there's a grief underneath it. There's some kind of sickness. There's something that needs to be worked out underneath it.
Yeah.
So by working with it at its very smallest unit, maybe
it can be
released.
Yeah. One of the big challenges of this poem, that Jeff Clark, the genius artist and designer that he is, he made these little E's, these little small Garamond E's to lie down, like little combs or prongs, because I did it at some point, but I couldn't get them to lie on their back like that. So they're lying on their back.
Which was a question I might have asked, yes.